on today's Run to the Top podcast.
Having seen in books some future orders towards the end of 2019, I know a lot of brands are coming out with some really, really cool things, trying to either one-up each other or trying to come out with the next big marathon racer or whatnot. But I know a lot of these brands are putting a lot of research and development and putting a lot of the coolest stuff out there.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. On today's episode, we are talking with Derek One, shoe expert in California, as we continue our search into the best running shoes of 2019. Derek will add to what started with Ross Martinson from Philadelphia Runner Stores last with his California-based choices of the best running shoes for 2019. From road training shoes to trail running, from road racing to ultra trail racing, and a couple of Derek's personal favorites, we'll see how it varies from coast to coast and from one expert to another. Derek has a wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure we'll learn a lot. But before we get on with the interview, let's take a brief break for a special invitation from Runners Connect. Do you need a crash course to help you train smarter, nail your nutrition, and improve your strength? Or maybe you want to connect with runners who get you? Then tune in later in the episode as I tell you a little bit more about our amazing four-day running retreats. If you want to learn more now, you can visit runnersconnect.net/retreats. Welcome back to the Run to the Top podcast with me, your host, Stephanie K. Atwood, and our special guest today, Derek One, from the SF Bay Area independent running stores called A Runner's Mind. Derek will be sharing several of his favorite shoes for 2019. Welcome, Derek.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Stephanie. This is awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's really fun. Great learning about all of these, you know, new shoes and all of the technology and special kinds of brands that are out there. Derek One is the footwear buyer for A Runner's Mind in the San Francisco Bay Area and has been in the industry for many years now, having held most of the different running store roles from store associate to manager to buyer. While not having started with the normal cross-country and track backgrounds like a lot of others in the industry, he has been a lifelong athlete, dabbling in many other sports before deciding that running was the one for him. Derek was brought into the running scene through the medium of obstacle course racing, which has pushed him to compete in and chase longer endurance events, primarily on trails. Thus far, he has participated in a 50K, but is interested in expanding his repertoire to even longer ultramarathons in the 50-mile, 100K, and eventually 100-mile competitions. Derek brings a unique background of sneaker and streetwear culture, as well as one in science, having studied mechanical engineering at UCLA and previously working in the biotech world, which has brought about his cultural and analytical approach to the rapidly changing industry of footwear. Derek, let's start with the four basics before we get into shoe details. I'm going to give you all four of those at the same time.
Perfect.
What is your current age? Where were you born? Where do you currently live? And what is your favorite race distance or type of race?
Currently, I'm 27 years old, and I was born and also still live in Burlingame, California, which is about 15 miles south of San Francisco, right here in the Bay Area. My favorite race distance would have to be probably the Trail 50K right now. It's a good challenge, but it's definitely within my realm of training and participating. So it's a lot of fun.
Sounds good. Yeah, I mean, marathons are such a big thing on this show. And of course, a 50K is a little bit longer than a marathon, and you're going for possibly 100 miles at some point. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, someday. Gotten some good people at the shop that have given me some inspiration to be running that far and just kind of really seeing what my mind and body can do.
A lot of time goes into training and participating in those kind of events, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. It's a lot of very different type of training than I would say a lot of people in the Bay Area are participating in right now. There's such a big road scene and kind of training towards that half marathon, full marathon kind of things, where I'd say trail ultra marathon is kind of a completely different ballgame there.
Yeah, but a lot of people are moving into transitioning into some of that trail stuff. And the ultra marathon, of course, just seems like a logical progression if you're interested in trails. So I actually wanted you to tell us a bit about your transition from engineering to running, because when you went to UCLA and you were in engineering, what took you from that place to working at a high level in a running store?
Yeah. Well, I had always been interested in running or had been a part of running as a part of other sports. Definitely was a kind of a science oriented person growing up and through school. So I think engineering was the logical choice for me. And then after graduating, having had some done some work in some kind of biotech areas, something didn't quite pique my interest or kind of keep me active. So I initially took a part-time job at my local running shop. And then from there, it kind of escalated, kind of seeing all the different things that my skill set could help out in the running store. So that's been a kind of a strange transition, but one that I'm happy that I went through and that I think I'm really contributing to what we're doing here.
Yeah. How has your engineering education been useful as a tool for your working in the running industry now?
So in doing a lot of kind of work as manager and footwear buyer, there's definitely a lot of data. I mean, if we're doing it correctly, there's so much data that can be kind of taken out of sales trends and just trends in the industry. So I can kind of really be analytical about these things, utilizing Excel and Google Sheets and things like that in order to kind of run numbers and things like that. So there's definitely a lot of aspects that can, in my head, that can be broken down into a science, which isn't something that's done a lot, I would say, in our industry, but it's definitely trending toward that area. And especially being where we are in the San Francisco Bay Area and Silicon Valley, that's pretty much everything's taken an analytical approach nowadays.
Yeah, well, of course, it was the owners of the store that told me you were the best shoe purchaser in the industry and knew the most. But I'm sure that your engineering background has helped you to be better at looking at some of these things in a new and exciting way. So moving on to the obstacle course, which seems like that was kind of what moved you into running from other sports. What and when did that happen?
I would say it was around the time where I was at UCLA in college, working with thousands of different people and having friends doing everything else. It's hard to field people for a basketball game, for a soccer game. And UCLA and LA in general has these wonderful hills that can be run. So that's kind of what I started doing in my free time, just kind of stay in shape and kind of some things I started doing on my own and discovering that I really enjoyed doing that. So it was towards the tail end of college when I started doing a lot more running and kind of just a lot of more, it was more personal activity.
Mm-hmm. And obstacle courses, a lot of those are done as teams. Were you a team member or was this something that you did on your own?
I initially got into it with a bunch of friends from college. We had done a couple just for fun. And then that kind of sparked my interest. I started doing some research and following different athletes in the games and started seeing these really long races and kind of questioning whether I could do that myself and if that was within my realm of athleticism and endurance, and undertook some of those really long endurance events. And it's definitely a challenge, but it's generally ones that I ended up taking on my own, but definitely had good support by my friends and family at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is kind of a quick question because what kind of shoes are best for obstacle type of competitions?
So it's funny that a lot of the people that end up doing these obstacle races, they want to use their kind of old worn out shoes because they're afraid of getting them dirty. But essentially you want something kind of the opposite. You want some fresh with some really good traction, ends up being some of the top trail shoes in the industry because they're often done on these trails or ski slopes or different parts of the country where full of hills and stuff and climbing over walls and stuff like that. So you definitely need some good traction, and we'll generally find that with a lot of different trail shoes out there right now.
Yeah, I would think you would want something that was kind of light and that but had good structure to it. And as you said, that had good, you know, good tread on the bottom. I'm sure you're on slippery slopes and slippery rocks and slippery everything when you're doing those kind of obstacle events.
Oh, for sure. And then another aspect is drainage, of course. You end up swimming through these lakes and stepping your entire foot and leg into these pools of water. So drainage is definitely a big issue too.
So tell us a bit about A Runner's Mind Stores and how you got connected to them.
So A Runner's Mind has been the Bay Area's run specialty store since 2010. Our owner, Monty Kelleher, he took over kind of the running scene in the Bay Area when the shop he used to work at, actually when he was in high school, also in Burlingame, closed down. So he kind of felt a need and a void in the community. So that's something he kind of undertook back in 2010. I got involved with him in, like I said, kind of doing a part-time job after biotech, but I've known him and his family since elementary school. So we go way back and I've been connected with him and his family for that long.
Okay. And so you started off just doing part-time work as a salesperson or something like that. And when did you become the buyer, the shoe buyer? Or are you a buyer of all stuff?
So I started off as a store associate 2 years ago now. And then I worked my way up to the person buying insoles. And then eventually assistant manager and then store manager. And then I took over the footwear buying role as a whole maybe about 6 months ago.
Oh, okay. Is it fun?
Yeah, it's so much fun. As being someone who was into sneakers and sneaker culture growing up, being able to see all these cool technologies and shoes and all the future things coming out and being able to be the one controlling what comes into the shops, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Wow. So in general, what are the hot brands in 2019 and what kinds of innovation are we seeing in this whole running shoe arena?
You know, it's crazy that so many of these brands are doing all great innovation, all great things in that. Ever since Nike came out with their Vaporfly 4%, everyone's trying to compete with that or at least come out with their version of that in order to compete in that market because they totally threw the industry for a turn when that came out, throwing out something completely different. Before that, racing flats were such a minimal thing with little cushioning. You want it as light as possible. When Nike came out with the Vaporfly, it's lots of cushion in that carbon fiber plate. So just in doing so, I don't think the industry was ready for that. They've been putting years and years of things into that in order to compete. But at the same time, that's pushed these shoe companies to do something different, which has been a great trend, I think. Even your more traditional brands are doing such innovative things, which has been amazing to see.
So, okay. Let's move on to your favorite shoes and let's start with some basic trainers for roads. What have you got to tell us about a couple of those?
So it's hard to compete with a classic like the Brooks Adrenaline, and they're currently on version 19. Having been one of the top selling stability shoes in the industry, going from traditional stability posting to these dynamic guide rails, we would have thought it was kind of a scary thing to do, throwing people off of their norm that they've been doing for 18 versions previous. But we've been seeing such a great reaction to the guide rails. It hasn't changed kind of people's buying habits who've had it before, but it's also opened up the market to so many more people because it's such a dynamic stability in terms of it's not going to get in your way if you don't need it, but it's going to be there to support you when you do. It's going to be around 11 ounces for men, just under 10 ounces for women, and it's $130. So it's definitely one of the best bang for your buck shoes. You're going to get a lot of great mileage out of that and great support too.
Okay. And second choice for your basic road trainer.
We've been doing a lot of great things with the Mizuno Wave Inspire 15. Mizuno has been one of those companies who have been putting out consistent product year to year and not one of those companies that's going to change things up too much if you don't need to. I feel like a lot of these companies feel the need to do these drastic changes year to year in order to put out a different product. But Mizuno has been doing a great job at just tweaking things a little bit in order to kind of update the product to the best of their ability. And they're around 10.3 ounces for men, 8.5 ounces for women, and that's going to run you about $130 as well.
And what do you think are the main features of this Mizuno? You said the Inspire, right?
Yeah. So Mizuno is known for their wave plate technology, which is essentially like a diving board under your foot. So it's this wave-shaped plate that when you put some weight on it, it'll flatten out a little bit, and then it'll spring back to its other shape to be really bouncy, propels you onto your front of your forefoot, and really get you a good springy toe off. So they have that technology in all their shoes, whether it's a smaller plate in the back or throughout the entire shoe. But for those people that want that nice springy ride, Mizuno is definitely a great option for you.
Nice weight, too. That's quite light.
Oh, for sure. And putting that plastic plate in there instead of a lot of denser foam, it's going to definitely save you on that weight, too.
Nice. Okay, then trail runners. So many people are transitioning from roads to trails, and maybe you have a one or two transition kind of shoes that maybe could be used in on the road but are good on trails, and then maybe a couple of specific ones just for trail running.
Yeah, most definitely. I would say one of my favorite ones in terms of that transition, Hoka is putting out some great products. My first trail shoe by Hoka was one of those kind of transition trail shoes. It's the Challenger ATR, and they're currently out with a version, I think it's 5 right now. That's running you less than 10 ounces for men and just under 9 ounces for women, which is just crazy light for how much cushion you get. And that'll run you $130 too.
Yeah. Wow. And so what do you think are the benefits, you know, specific to this Hoka design?
Well, definitely maximal cushioning. While everyone, at least a few years ago, was trending towards such a minimal movement, Hoka kind of went in the other direction. They gave you as much cushion as they could, but still keeping it super light, which has been kind of, it still blows people's minds, which is awesome. You get a lot of cushioning for a lightweight package. You also get this Meta Rocker design, this heel-to-toe rocker, which kind of no matter where you land, it pushes you forward onto your forefoot, and then kind of does some of that work for you in that sense. It's a really smooth transition shoe. So that's been great for a lot of people too.
Now, do you feel, maybe this is a personal question, do you feel that that kind of rocking that that Hoka shoe has is good for trail running, or is it a little bit too much considering that you're going up and down on terrain that can be pretty steep?
Hokas are actually great for trail running. They were initially designed as trail runners, being two French guys doing ultra marathons through the Alps and things like that. So they were designed to be trail runners first and foremost. I do find that the trail ones, they do have less of an aggressive rocker. You definitely get more rocking in the road shoes. But from my experience and talking with a lot of other people, I haven't found the rocking to be any kind of detriment to the ride there.
Okay. And how about price?
$130.
$130. Okay. Second trail runner.
My other favorite one's been the Cloud Venture by On Running. On's a fairly new brand within the last 10 years or so, but one of the fastest growing brands in the world right now. Their Cloud Venture comes in right around 10 ounces for men, right around 8 ounces for women. That'll run you about $150. And they're really known for their cloud technology. So that consists of a bunch of smaller cloud elements on the bottom, which both absorb shock vertically, but also shear horizontally. So it eases that transition into the ground. And also their speed board that they sit on top of or underneath. So that gives you a nice snappy toe off, also some structure within the shoe, and keeps it very, very lightweight for what you're getting. So On's been doing some great things in the industry so far.
Have you had a chance to test most of these shoes or a lot of these shoes?
Yep. So even though I find myself being a neutral runner, I've thrown on the stability shoes a bunch of times, whether that's kind of when the shoe comes in the shop, trying it on, running around the block a couple times, or even during sales meetings, getting everything I can on my feet. So I know exactly what they are and how to buy and sell it to our guests.
Yeah. And is this one pretty popular with your clientele?
Definitely On's been on the rise and even one of our fastest growing brands. I feel like where we are in Silicon Valley in San Francisco, everyone wants the latest and greatest and coolest. So On definitely gets that vibe just sitting on the sales wall and just seeing it around the city, you're seeing it on more and more people's feet. And it's been real popular amongst just all of our guests.
And you have three stores, right? In the Bay Area?
Yes, we have three stores.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking there were three. That's the same, I think, as Philadelphia Runner. Maybe, I think they had three, maybe they had four, but you're very similar kinds of shoe stores and independent. That was important for me in just trying to put this talk together. So I appreciate both the work that goes into being an independent shoe store, but a running store, but also the independence that you have in being able to have more flexibility in the kinds of products you buy or don't buy.
Oh, for sure. That's a big aspect for us being independent. It definitely gives a greater appeal to our guests, but it also allows us to be flexible and really move with the industry instead of kind of having to answer to like a corporate office. But we're definitely on the high end of innovation, wanting to bring in the latest and greatest products for our guests and just the best possible products. And I think being independent allows us to do that.
Indeed. Now, what about racing flats, both for road and for trail? So what are your favorites in these two areas?
So for the roads, Nike's been doing some incredible things. In the past, Nike's gotten a bad rap for not being good quality. And over the last 3 to 4, 3 to 5 years, they've been putting a lot of research and development into their products. And then one of those things that have come out of that is the Zoom Fly Flyknit, which has been a great racing flat for a lot of people. There's also the Vaporfly 4%, but that's at $250, maybe a little less attainable and durable for people. So mm-hmm. I'd say for a lot of other people, the Zoom Fly Flyknit, which is like a step down, you're still going to get a lot of pop, a lot of speed, a lot of durability from that. And that's right around 8 ounces, 8.5 ounces for men, and that's sub 7 ounces for women range. It'll put you back about $160, but you still get their new React foam cushioning, their carbon fiber plate, their Flyknit upper, which all in all, for all those technologies, is a pretty good deal there.
What about the toe box in the Nikes? Is it wide?
I would say it's wide enough. It's definitely hard to satisfy the masses there. But I would say Nike's been giving a much more generous toe box over the last 3 or 4 years, which has been a positive for our guests and fitting a lot more feet, which is, we've noticed that for sure.
And so that's a road racing flat. Now, what about some trail racing flats?
So Ultra, the brand Ultra, the Zero Drop and Wider Toe Box brands, they're a fairly new brand, but they put out the Superior version 4. And that's something that I've been enjoying kind of tearing up the trails around here. And it's very, very light especially for a trail shoe at under 8 ounces for men, about 6.5 ounces for women. It'll only put you back about $110, but that definitely has some good ground feel, nice snappy feel to it, low profile, but just enough cushioning there. And another aspect that I love about it, it has a removable rock guard, which can kind of change that toe box fit, give you a little bit more protection if you need it. But if you don't need that extra weight, definitely shave some of that weight off of there. So the Ultra Superior.
What would you say distance-wise is as far as you'd want to go in something that's as light as the Superior?
For the Superior in particular, I would probably be comfortable going up to maybe like a half marathon in that. Mm-hmm. When it gets into that full marathon, ultra marathon, I honestly don't distinguish that much between a regular trail shoe and a trail racing shoe necessarily.
Yeah.
At that point, you just want something that's gonna cushion your feet and keep you protected and get you from start to finish. So a half marathon and under is definitely where those lighter.
And what does the Ultra Superior cost?
$110.
$110. Wow. Okay, another trail racing shoe.
I've also liked the new Switchback from Saucony. They just put that out in February. If you're familiar with the Saucony Freedom or Liberty, they kind of took that setup and put it on a trail shoe, or put a trail bottom more like on that. A little bit more protection on top, but you definitely get that low profile 4 millimeter drop feel. It's right around 8 ounces for men, definitely in that kind of sub 7 ounces for women at about $140. It's a lot of fun. Definitely feel fast in it. And then another great aspect of it is it has their new BOA lacing in it. So they've put that really fast, really good, comfortable fit on it.
Saucony has been around forever. Wow.
Yeah, it's definitely the oldest brand, or at least that we've carried of them.
Yeah, so you have to both keep up the innovation, but also satisfy the customers that look at a brand like that and say, you know, this is my brand. I want to keep wearing Sauconys. So good for them.
It's such a fine balance between satisfying your people and keeping up with the industry, but also putting out good product that you actually believe in, that you've been doing well with. But Saucony is definitely one of those kind of old school brands that have been putting out a lot of great product lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice to know. Now, personal favorites. You can say more than a couple here if you want. Always interested in knowing both the whats and the whys of your own personal favorites.
For me personally, I have probably 5 to 6 different shoes that I'm kind of going on and off with based off the type of run that I'm going in. Even though we actually don't sell it in stores and do too well with it, I love On's Cloud Surfer. For whatever reason, it doesn't do great in the US market, but it's actually apparently the best-selling shoe in Europe. It gives me a nice springy feel and good cushioning, but responsiveness too. So On Cloud Surfer has been one of my favorites over the years.
And what does that run approximately cost-wise and weight-wise? Do you know?
It's $150. It's about 10.5 ounces for men, right around 9 ounces for women.
And that's one that you like for trail running?
That's more of a road shoe for me, or it is my road shoe. So it's going to be my daily trainer. I can pick up the speed and do a little bit of speed work in it. So it's a nice versatile shoe as well.
And how long have they been around? You said maybe 10 years?
Yep, they started in 2010, just like us, actually. So we both kind of come up in the industry together, which has been fun to see.
Uh-huh. Okay. What about some other favorites for you personally?
I'm a big fan of the Saucony Freedom, the version 2 that's just came out. I ran in the first version, and then I've been putting a lot of miles in the second version. It's a great versatile shoe. I can take it on some lighter trails because it has some really good traction with their crystal rubber, but it's a low profile shoe. I get a lot of bouncy cushioning in it, and it's one of my go-to shoes in terms of what I'm constantly reaching for on my shelf when I'm going out to run. And that's around that 9 ounce range for men, about 8 ounces for women, and that's around $160.
And you carry that in your store?
Yep, it's one of our best sellers.
Now, okay, so we've gone through several different favorites of yours. And a question I have that is, if you know of elite athletes or high-level athletes who are using some of these shoes, have you got any information on that?
So from my knowledge, a lot of the daily training that a lot of these elite athletes are using are a lot of these trainers, actually. I don't think I named the glycerin, but I know like Des Linden does a lot of her training in the Brooks glycerin, which is one that we sell. It turns out in general, a lot of these elite athletes aren't training in these crazy different shoes that they're made specially for them. They're using a lot of these what we call inline products, which is awesome to see. You see pictures of these guys training and the same shoes on their feet are the same ones that we have on our wall. So it makes elite athletes very accessible and very relatable for people. When it comes to racing, that's a whole nother story. These companies are coming out with these very exclusive products, a lot of wear testing products that are unknown and not out to the public. Like whatever shoe Des Linden won Boston in, that's definitely not on the market yet. So we're looking forward to that coming out in the next year or two.
Yeah. Well, of course, they must have so much money that's invested in them to have the best shoe for their feet and for their foot strike and all of that kind of stuff. And most of us probably aren't at a place where we would be able to afford it or would have someone have the interest in us to be able to put together a shoe like that.
Oh yeah, most definitely. for Nike's Breaking 2 project, they had these Vaporfly Elites, these shoes custom molded to their foot. And I know a lot of companies are at least looking into doing a lot of these custom molded feet and or shoes to the feet. But honestly, I don't see that it being that big of a thing, because I'd say for the majority of us, having that custom molded shoe isn't going to make that much of a difference. I don't think a custom molded shoe is going to get me to break 2 hours in the marathon. So that's just a lot
That's a really good point. Yeah. Yeah. Well, breaking 2 hours in the marathon.
Yeah.
Wow.
No shoe, no matter if it's perfect for my foot, it's going to get me to do that. So.
Yeah. Well, and the cost of them, I'm sure, is pretty significant. Of course, the elite athletes might not be actually paying for them, but they're paying in other ways with endorsements and all
Almost
that
definitely.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah. Travel, yeah, races, yeah. all that fun stuff.
Right, right. Well, what else do you have to add to this shoe talk today? Because we're at the end of going through some of the favorites in your store and some of your personal favorites. But what else would you like to tell us about shoes in 2019?
I think shoes in 2019 is going to be a big trend in kind of putting out new and innovative product, more so than any other year thus far. Having seen and booked some future orders for towards the end of 2019, I know a lot of brands are coming out with some really, really cool things, trying to either one up each other or trying to come out with the next big marathon racer or whatnot. But I know a lot of these brands are putting a lot of research and development and putting a lot of the coolest stuff out there. And it's really exciting from my point of view. And it'll be really interesting to see how our guests respond to that, how people in the industry in general respond to that. It's an exciting time to be a runner, but also a footwear buyer and someone in our position, just in specialty running shops in general, where I feel like it's been, I wouldn't say stagnant, but slowly improving over the years. I think it's going to take a huge leap this year, and I'm super, super excited to see what the response is in that.
Interesting. I wonder what shoes we're going to see at the Boston Marathon. Of course, we're going to see everything, but wonder what some of the top runners are going to be running in.
Definitely going to be seeing a lot of prototypes, I think.
That seems to be part of the whole game. We are going to be moving into the final kick here, but if there's anything else you want to add about shoes, this is your chance.
Again, just an exciting time to be following footwear. There's so many different aspects to that. And it's great that these companies are finally challenging each other and doing the work, because they need to compete. If you're not putting out some kind of new technology or anything like that, you're definitely falling behind and losing market share. So it's interesting watching and analyzing the trends and what brands are putting out versus how they're doing in both our shops, and just talking to other stores in the industry, the rest of the country in general.
Do you think that what people are wearing in California is going to be a little different than what they're wearing in, say, Philadelphia and on the East Coast? Or you think overall it's pretty much the same stuff?
You know, I don't think it's actually too different. I think it's just the biggest difference is going to be kind of the trends throughout the year. In California, we're lucky enough to, or unlucky, depending on how you look at it, to not get these huge seasons. We, for the most part, we don't get snow or anything like that. So we got our people running 12 months out of the year. So I'd say the buying habits and trends and the selling trends on that end are probably going to be the main differentiators. But what we have here is not too unlike what our friends over at Philly Runner is going to have. But it's going to be a lot of the same things.
Do you need a crash course to help you train smarter, nail your nutrition, and improve your strength? Or maybe you want to connect with runners who get you? Then you may be interested in one of our amazing running retreats. Our 4-day retreats offer you an intimate, informative, relaxing, and amazing running experience that's also affordable. You'll get expert one-on-one coaching from our team of coaches, run in amazing places, get strength training, stretching, and yoga sessions, and meet other passionate runners just like you. These retreats are not for elite runners. They are for runners like you who love running and just want to improve. Most of our attendees are between 45 to 70 years young and range in ability from Boston qualifiers to those who want to break 3 hours for the half marathon or those who are just getting started. This year, we have two retreats, one in the gorgeous mountains of North Carolina and the second on the beautiful shores of Portugal. Yes, we even have a retreat for our international audience. To see the dates, accommodations, prices, and all other details, head to runnersconnect.net/retreats. We hope you're able to join us for one of these amazing 4-day retreats. We are back with Run to the Top podcast and guest Derek One, who has shared a lot of information on 2019 shoes for all types and levels of running. We're just about finished and coming into the final kick. So question number one, a favorite local training run. Tell us enough that our readers would be able to find it if they are from outside of the area and come to the San Francisco Bay Area.
Definitely something that I always recommend to people that are visiting is our Bay Trail, which is, I mean, we definitely have a smaller section from outside of Burlingame here, but the Bay Trail actually runs throughout the entire length and perimeter of the Bay. So no matter if you're in San Francisco or in across the bay in Oakland or down in San Jose, you can access part of the Bay Trail, which has been great. It's pretty flat for the most part, which I think a lot of people will enjoy, but you get some breeze from the water. It's a beautiful view from all ends, and I think it's something very unique to the San Francisco Bay Area. So that's usually my go-to recommendation there.
What a great suggestion. I think any of us who have lived in the Bay Area have run many times on the Bay Trail, and there's so much of it that you can run a different part almost every time if you want to do that. But I agree with you. It's just really a great access running place and cycling as well for the whole entire Bay Area. So great suggestion. Okay, part two here, a recommended book, research, or video about running shoes or running equipment.
One of my favorites is Chris McDougall's TED Talk that he did. I first found it on YouTube maybe a couple years ago, but it's something that I find myself going back to a bunch. So while his theory and his ideas of lack of running shoes are minimalist, I don't entirely agree with, it's very interesting learning about it from a biological and scientific approach. I think he brings up a lot of great points, but it's just very interesting listening to an opposing point of view, someone who doesn't necessarily believe in the kind of things that we promote necessarily, but that's something that we can all use to learn together. And I find that approach very interesting for myself.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really nice suggestion. Thank you for doing that. And Chris McDougall, of course, he's the one who wrote Born to Run, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody knows his name. And so, all right. That was part two. Now, part three is a person you would recommend to speak about this subject to our podcast audience, running equipment, running gear, something engineering, some of those potential speakers.
I think it'd be really interesting for the podcast to talk to someone from one of the brands. Especially if some of these newer brands like On or Hoka or Ultra or someone like that. Someone I've been working really close with is Dan Shade, who is our On sales representative. And he's been done a great job at introducing the brand not only to our team in order to help sell better, but I think a lot of our guests as well. And he does a fantastic job talking about the brand and kind of just the whole theory and how the brand works and things like that. So definitely the perspective of a brand representative can be very valuable.
That would be terrific. And I hadn't even known about On. So I'm definitely intrigued. And it sounds like something that our audience might be interested in listening to as well. Thanks for that suggestion. So we are almost out of time. And please do, Derek, give us contact information on how our audience can follow your running progress, because I know you've got 50 miles, 100K, 100 miles, and also what's going on with your store, A Runner's Mind, all three of them.
I have a Strava account, so if you want to follow my running, it's just under Derek One. That's Derek, and then Wun for the last name. find our store and follow our store at our website is arunnersmind.com. All one word and no apostrophe there. You can find our Instagram at a.runners.mind. So follow us on social media as well as our website to find a lot of the newest and coolest things that we're doing there.
I know quite a bit about A Runner's Mind, and I think I ended up early on going into the Burlingame store, which I guess was the first one. And boy, it's really grown and seems to be doing a lot of good stuff. So thank you so much for this information. And thank you for sharing with us today, Derek. This has been very informative. And wishing you best of health and success for you personally, Derek, and for our Runner's Mind stores. And thank you, our audience, for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. You may follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. Please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. That way you can be notified every week when the new episode is published. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top, wishing you a great week of fitness.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.